We're going to carry on from where we stopped last time. And we've been looking at the series called Parenting. And we started last time, the week before last, which was the week before Mother's Day. And I made a number of points about children, and I'm going to carry on today. But just to reflect our minds from 2 weeks ago when we started, the first thing I mentioned is that often in popular culture now, there's a tendency that people might view children as being like an inconvenience. They might not say it. And how do I know that? There are times that I have conversations with people and they go like, oh, you better, if you're getting married, you better, you know, enjoy all you can as a married couple before you have children, because when children come, that's the end. And I'm like, hang on, that doesn't really make sense. And we looked at that in a lot of detail. And we looked at the fact that Jesus views children very differently from popular culture. Jesus values children so much that he makes the only threat that Jesus makes in the Bible is against people who will mislead children. So we looked at that in detail two weeks ago, that God values children and God gives children to us as a gift. So we shouldn't view children as an inconvenience or, well, there you go, I'm just going to try my best. No. God wants us to be excited about our children because they're gifts to us, and he wants us to treat them as such. So that's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. Now, today we're going to carry on from there, and I'm going to be looking at what I've called bringing up children, part two. So we're going to have a look at a biblical view of how God wants us to bring up our children. And again, it's not a lecture per se. It's just sharing God's view and, if possible, giving us some practical points as well. So I'm going to look at 3 points this morning. And the first thing I want to look at is the fact that God has a real interest in our children. If you look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, I'll read that. It says, God was talking to the husband and the wife. He says, has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and in spirit. And what does God seek? Godly offspring. So it says, be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. So in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, God highlights there that there's something that he wants from a couple who are believers. He says, godly seed. So what that means is God gives us as parents the opportunity to bring up our children in such a way that they are, I don't want to use that word useful in God's kingdom, but that God can actually use them to make a difference in their lives and in society as well. So God is intently interested in our children. He's interested in what becomes of them. That's why he makes that point in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. So that's the first point. Now, the second point I want to make is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. So the second thing is that God expects us as parents to take responsibility for bringing up our children. Now, why am I saying God expects us to take responsibility? I'll read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. It means do not annoy your children. Fathers have an interesting way of doing that. But that's not the point. It says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 also says something. It says, my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teachings. So God wants us as parents to take responsibility for bringing up our children. Now, what do I mean by that? There is the tendency that one can just outsource that responsibility to the school or maybe to the church Sunday schools. Like, look, if they're going to train my kids about God, I'll just bring them to church, let the Sunday school people teach them. Or I'm too busy, I'm going to send them to school. Their teachers should be able to teach them all they know. Now, whilst the schools and, you know, sometimes the church teaches our, you know, teach our children, they are not responsible for bringing up our children. And when I say responsible, I'm talking about having like a vision, having a sense of ownership of your children. I'm saying that very loosely. It's not like parents don't own their children, but having a sense that I want to really see and, well, I have an expectation for this child, that this child is going somewhere and I am going to guide this child. Do you understand what I mean? Taking responsibility. Now, I was listening to, there was this guy, I was watching this documentary about gangs in America. Gangs in America. And there was this guy in a gang, young guy, and they asked, I think he left the gang afterwards. And they asked him, why did you join this gang, you know, knowing that, you know, this is like a really dangerous gang, you know, you could get shot, you could, all these things could happen to you. Why did you join the gang? And he made a very interesting point. He said that in the gang, he felt that they actually really cared for him. He felt that there were people looking out for him. He felt that he belonged to a group that cared for him. So it didn't matter to him if he got shot in the end. It didn't matter to him if something bad happened. He valued the fact that the gang loved him, in quotes. I use that word, loved him, in quote. The gang took responsibility. They took care of him. So he knew that they had his best interest at heart. Do you understand what I mean? So in the same way, God wants us to take responsibility for our children so that they know that we've got their back, we have their interest at heart. Not that they're just an inconvenience. I was in the city center yesterday, right? And we had our stand-up Cabot Circus. We're talking to a few people and I saw this young guy. This guy must have been about 16, 17. And we got talking. And it was quite a sad case. And at the end of the conversation, he mentioned to me that, look, he had been on the streets for the past few days, just going from place to place. So what happened to this young boy? Apparently, his dad kicked him out of the house. I don't know what he did to his dad. Do you get what I mean? But his dad kicked him out of the house. And he was wandering on the streets. So you begin to think, how did he get there? How did the relationship between this guy and his dad get to the point where they kicked him out of the house and he was living on the streets? And for whatever reason, his parents didn't really care. Let me not use that word. They didn't even know where he was and they were not looking for him. How did he get there? It's a long story. But what am I saying here? God wants us to take responsibility for our children and not just outsource that responsibility because he has a plan for every single child. Do you get what I mean? So, the next point I want to make is, so I've said, okay, God has a real interest in our children. God, number two, he expects us to take responsibility. So the third point is this. If God says we should take responsibility for the training and for the upbringing of our children, what does that look like in real life? How do we do that? I'll highlight a number of points here that would help us. And like I said, I'm not giving a lecture and I'm not making it seem like I'm a child expert because I'm not. I think in our own case, I was just really fortunate that I had a wife who paid attention. I tried to pay attention as well. But we'll look at a number of things that I believe can like really help us. Now, why am I saying how do we bring up our kids? Or let me give us some tips from what the Bible says. I'm saying that because not trying to make it seem cheeky, not trying to make it seem like, oh, as a parent, you know, you don't know what you're doing, or, you know, let me teach you how to do it. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying this because what I realized when our children were growing up was that there is the tendency that you can just, like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, bring up your kids on what I call autopilot. I think I explained that last time. And do you know what autopilot is? Autopilot is this. You wake up in the morning, oh, what's the time? I gotta go to work. And as a parent, you rush up, oh, I've gotta do this. Hey kids, brush your teeth. Sit down, eat. And you rush them off to school, take them to school or nursery. You come back home, it's like, oh, it's late. Have you had your dinner? You know, make dinner. Dad says, oh, hey, tidy up your, and they go to bed. The next day, you press repeat. And it happens like that. And before you know it, your children are 10, 15, 20. And you now look at the whole 20 years that your child has spent with you, or 5 years or 3 years, and all you can remember is that they just lived with no real consciousness of taking a pause to say, okay, this child, this guy, what is really happening with you? Let us talk. What do you want to do? What is really going on with you? How are you feeling? So autopilot is what a lot of us do. And like I said, I had a wife who pressed stop for me in those days to be reflective. You understand? All right, so we'll look at a number of things here that I'll highlight. And I said they're just kind of like some of the tips that God gives us from the Bible as well. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says something. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the Bible says we should train our children in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. God understands that as parents, when your child is born, you have a tremendous influence on their choices, on their perspectives from when they're growing up, because you're the person that they spend most of their time with. And God understands that. So we'll look at three areas that I believe we should really focus on. But there's a point that I want to make here. The Bible says we should train up our children in the way they should go. And I want to make a distinction here between training and teaching. There's a big difference. Training and teaching. And I got a dictionary definition, and I'll explain why I'm going through this in a moment. So what's the difference between teaching and training? And I believe this difference is quite important, so that as we approach our children and as we bring them up, we distinguish between the two. So I got the dictionary definition of teaching from Google. It said, teaching is informing an individual of ideas and principles. So teaching is informing someone. Do you understand? Like I'm teaching at the moment. Training is different. And it defines train. It says, training is the process of learning the skills that you need to do a job. All right? So why is it important that we distinguish between teaching and training? Because a lot of us just teach. So teaching is, you've got like a child who is 1 year old, and is like, you say, I'm just gonna make up a name here. David, or you guys give me a name. John or something. David, I've told you, sit down and have your dinner. I'm making a point. Sit down and have your dinner. And David looks at you, he's like, doesn't say anything. And the minute you leave, David flings his dinner out of the table, clears it off the table. And you're wondering, and you bring David back and you say, I thought I told you to have your dinner. Do you know what you're doing in that instance? You're informing that child, which is good. But you need to take it a step further into what the Bible defines as training. I gave an example. I was talking to someone last week, and I gave an example of how children feel, because I love children. I really empathize with children, I tell you. And I said to this individual, with regards to training children, how just imagine, right, if I took you, as you are now, as an adult, and I took you to somewhere like China, right? You don't understand the language, you don't understand the culture, and I drop you in China and I introduce you to two people and I say, these two people are your guardians. You don't know the language, you don't know the culture, and you start to live there. What would you do? How would you feel? So you can imagine that a child is born, they don't know the language, they don't know the world, they don't know what you're talking about. So they're not going to language school, they're not going to anything, they have to learn the language, they have to learn what you're talking about. Do you understand? So imagine you being in China as an adult, you don't know the language or anything, and someone sits you down, you're just learning, you know, trying, and they're saying, it's like, what is this person talking about? I just tried to mimic Chinese there, by the way. I'm not quite sure I got that right. You're going to be like, what are they saying? You know, what's this person saying? Do you understand? So the same way for children as they are growing up, we expect that they should understand what we're saying when they're like 9 months or 8 months. And we get frustrated sometimes. Why isn't this child, why can't you just eat your dinner? And we get frustrated, you know, but you know. This is where training comes in, right? So imagine where I'm in China, right? I'm a child or I'm an adult and I don't really understand the language. And they brought my dinner to me and they put the dinner on the table. I'm like, how do I even start eating this dinner? Then someone sits at the other end of the table. Welcome. Now, so I'm still painting the scenario of teaching and training here. So I'm there in China and my guardians have spoken to me, but I don't really understand what they're saying because I don't understand Chinese. I'm still just learning it. So they've taught me, but I'm just not getting it. This is where training comes in. My Chinese guardian just sits opposite me on the table and mimics to me and says, "For eat." So I'm like, oh, eat, oh, okay. And I start to mimic what they're doing. Do you understand? So when we finish eating, my Chinese guardian picks up the plate and says, kitchen? I'm like, oh, okay. I now pick up the plate as well and I follow them. You guys are looking at me like, what is this guy saying? Do you get what I mean? So that is training, not just teaching. So why am I saying this? It's so important because if we're just teaching our kids, teaching them, and we're not really training them and helping them along the process, it becomes a bit challenging for them and it becomes slightly frustrating for us as well. I don't know, I think maybe Doc can explain the psychology of children. She knows more. Please correct me if I'm going off on a tangent. So that's the difference between training and teaching, I believe. So God expects us to train our children, and that's the way that they learn. So there are three areas that I've highlighted here with regards to really training our children. Now, the first one is normal, everyday thing. And you might be like, my goodness, Pastor Benson, why are you, isn't this just obvious? Maybe it's obvious, but I'm just trying to state the obvious here so that we don't get frustrated when we have little kids. So the first thing is training our children in normal, everyday things that we take for granted. So I've outlined a number of things here, like training them how to brush their teeth, take a bath. I'm saying this because sometimes we automatically assume that, well, they should know how to do it. But that's not always the case. So normal everyday things like brushing their teeth, taking a bath, learning to sit down and eat at a table, saying thank you when people do things for them, all these little things, tidying their room. And for the girls, as the girls grow up, when they become, like, I don't know if it's 10 or 11, having the conversation with the girls and the guys, but mostly girls, to say, look, from a biological perspective, when you get to 12 or is it 13, your body is going to change. You're going to begin like a menstrual circle thing and all that. And do you know, I was talking to a lady, like one of our grannies on Friday. She's in her 80s. I went to London to pay her a visit. And we're talking. And she began to tell me about how she grew up. And she was saying that, do I know that when she was growing up and her mate, that her parents didn't tell her anything about biology, about the menstrual cycle. They didn't tell her anything about how to relate to men. They didn't tell her how to, none of that. So she just had to just stumble on it. Yeah. She just had to stumble across, like, oh, I'm feeling, what's happening here? And in those days, there was no internet. I'm not quite sure there was like loads of access to books. So it was just like, what's happening to me? Then maybe her mom will now be, okay, this is what is happening to you. But no idea at all. Do you understand? So we need to just, with regards to all these everyday things, inform our children about it. That when you get to a certain age, certain things are going to happen to you physiologically and biologically as well, so that they're prepared. And they are not just caught by surprise, or they're not just having to search on the internet. It's like, what is happening to me here? Do you get what I mean? So those are the everyday normal things that to us might seem mundane, but to them is a big deal because they don't know about them. God expects us to help them along in this way as well. And I think the other thing as well, and I'll mention a few points, then we'll close. We need to really ask God to help us with our children to pay close attention to them when they're going from phase to phase. So for example, a child is going to become a teenager. They're like 13, 14. A lot of things happen to them at that age. And because of their physiology that's changing, their emotions are changing, a lot of things are happening to them. They become irritable. They become, a lot of things happen. And the person who's going through that doesn't even understand what's happening at 13, 14. And you see people say, oh, these teenagers are just, they're just misbehaving. They're just doing all the silly things. Well, a lot of them will do those silly things because they're going through things that they don't understand. And someone needs to sit down with them and say, look, this is what is happening to you. This is what you're going through. Some of them, at that early teenage go through psychological things as well. So as parents need to sit down and really help their children along in these little ways. All right? So two more points as well. The other point as well is helping our kids with what they want to be in future, their career. And we assume that, look, well, as kids grow up, they'll They'll figure out what they want to become. You know, just let them, you know, let them sort it out themselves. But no, God tells us that we should help them along as well. As a parent, you've been around in the world much longer than your children. You know what the world is like. So God expects that we help them along. We identify the skills that they have, the things that they're really good at, and help them along that way on purpose, even if it's a bit inconvenient. And not just leave them to chance. I tell you, I remember when our son was growing up, and I realized that, man, this guy loves computers. And I would sit with him. I mean, he was like 5, 6, or 7 or whatever at that age. But I realized that this guy just loved computers. So I said, okay, every computer course I could find for 5, 6, 7 year olds, I took him on it. I mean, I think I went slight to the extreme a bit because we lived in West London then. And there was a course that they were doing, I think outside London or something. I took a day off from work and I took this 7 year old boy there because obviously I could, it was like a 2 hour trip to a computer camp because I knew that, look, with other young people there, that would fan his interest. Do you understand? When I knew that my daughter would be musical as well, she's one that plays the keyboard, by the way, straight away, we got someone to teach her how to play. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? We can help these guys come along quicker by helping them, sitting down, finding out what it is that is really in them and helping them along to bring out those interests on purpose. Do you understand what I mean? We also need to help teach our children to, from an academic perspective, to read, to write. Like, isn't that the job of the school? Yeah. But you as a parent, you need to invest that time as well so that your children can learn the basic skills to read and to write. Why am I so passionate about this? Again, my parents were like really great parents, by the way. But when I was in primary school, right, I was in like form one, form two, and all that. And the teacher would give me, they would, you know, pass books around and they would say, read, you know, you read that. And you would not believe that at the age of 9, I could not read. Nobody really knew, apart from the teachers who would embarrass me then. They say, yeah. You know, it was like proper old school now. It's not now that it's like, oh, so we're just going to help you. Then it was like, what? You can't read? Stand up. And the whole class would be looking at you like, that guy can't read. That guy can't read. At 9 years old. So you're like, how did that happen? And I went to like, in quote, like a really good school, in quote. But I couldn't read. And nobody, I mean, my parents was like, we heard, I'm not going to that. But God just saved me that when I was 10 years old, something happened. One day I just sat up and I said, hang on, why can't I read? Why can't I read? And there was a little program that we used to watch then, God bless that program, called, it's a bit funny, Sesame Street. And do you know what Sesame Street used to do then? If you guys don't know what Sesame Street is, don't worry. Probably way, 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 way old school for you guys. Do you get what I mean? And Sesame Street, what they used to do on telly then, there was no internet and all that, by the way. Sesame Street would be like, okay, this is a word, car. Car. C-A-R. Pronounce, kiddies. This was on telly. Car. And you will not believe that was how I learned to read. Sesame, like car. Okay, car. At 10 years old, can you beat that? Car. Dog. D-O-R-G. And that was how I learned to read. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, my parents were really busy, but can you imagine, I'm putting this in context now, if I never learned to read, forget it. I wouldn't have gone to school at all, because you were like, this guy is just like a dummy. Chuck him out to be like whatever. I wouldn't have gone to school. Where would my life have ended up if God just didn't, by chance, rescue me from that? Where would I be now? And the thing would have been, oh, this young man is a useless guy, can't make anything out of life. He can't even read. He's like 20-something. And that's what society would see. But society wouldn't see that when this guy was growing up, there was no one to sit him down and teach him how to read properly. There was no one concerned enough to say, okay, what is happening to you? Why can't you read? Are you finding it a bit challenging? People don't see that. What they see is, oh, this person is X, Y, Z. But what happened at the beginning? Was there someone that took interest at heart? Was there someone that paid enough attention? Do you understand what I mean? So that's why when it comes to children, I get a bit like really passionate, because I get them a lot of times. So we have that responsibility. The last point I want to make is this. So I've talked about training up our children. We've looked at the difference between teaching and training. I've said we need to teach our children like the everyday things of life. And the second thing, we need to teach them from an academic perspective, like basic skills, or help them along, reading, writing, and all those things. Now, the last point is spirituality, what I call the spiritual aspects of life. Now, we are responsible for teaching our children about God, about what it means to be a believer. And the reason is this. God has a vested interest in our children. And he expects us to pass on our spiritual heritage to them. Because if we do not, then what will happen is this. Our children will be what I call at risk to society. Because there are certain things that it is only God in them that would help them to resist those things. Remember, I said there's a difference between teaching and training. And I think this is so important when it comes to training our children spiritually. Because children can spot hypocrites straight away. So I've met people, and I chat to people quite a lot. And like, oh, how are you doing? Why don't you come along? What do you think about God, about church? And they're like, look, don't even talk to me about that. I'm like, all right, what's... And they're like, my dad was a Christian in the church, and he did this, he did that. Basically, what they were saying was that their parents were hypocrites. And it was like, if this is what it means to be a Christian, that you are in church and you profess this, but this is how your life is. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect, because we all make mistakes. But if you say this is what your life is, and you're telling me this, then come on, I'm not gonna do that. I'd rather not just have anything to do with God, if this is what it looks like. So what does that mean to us? It means that as parents, even though we're not perfect, we need to try our best with the help of God to be examples to our children and to teach them about God. And when I say to teach them about God, not to teach them about God from a distant perspective, but to teach them that there is a God who loves them. There is a God who is alive. There is a God who is not just a Sunday thing that says, hey, have you done this? If you do this, I'm going to like punish you. No. To introduce God to them as a person, as a father that loves them. Do you understand? So what does that entail from us? It entails that we have to be intentional about teaching our children, which means you take the Bible and you read the Bible to your children and explain to them about God. And explain to them about God, even when you're tired. So that they see God for who God is. And they're not just going to be basing their opinions on what the internet says about God. But they can see from your life that you love God. And you're teaching about the God that you love as well. Do you understand? I remember when I was growing up, I became born again when I was 24 or something like that. So that means all through my uni days, forget it. If I had a friend who was a Christian then, and he would be like, oh, why don't you come to church with me and all that, I was like, don't even go there at all. And I just lived life the way I thought was. And that's because I really didn't know God. I thought, my parents used to force us to go to church on a Sunday and I was just done with that. But I met God when I was 24. Really meeting God. And I tell you, since then, I mean, my life has been totally different. I mean, I became almost like I think I still am like a God fanatic. Do you understand? So I met God for myself. So it wasn't someone just trying to convince me. So the same way, we have to help our children to meet God in the same way. So that they don't see God as, okay, well, we go to that church on Sundays where they sing and all that, and that's where it ends. No. God's more than that. God's involved in our life on a daily basis, if we understand what that means. All right? So I'm going to end there this morning. So what am I saying this morning? I'm just saying, just reiterating that, look, God is interested in your children. He's interested in my children. He cares about what is going to become of them, even more than you care. Do you understand? So, if God cares so much about your children, and he knows the future for them, then why don't we make a decision that we're going to go with God, do things the way God has said concerning our children? Why? So that they can make good out of their lives. So that when your child is 5, when your child is 10, when your child is a teenager, when your child is 20, you can look back and be like, well, God, thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me with my child. I haven't just done this alone. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm just going to stop there this morning. And we'll pray. But before we pray, there's something that I want to say here. Maybe we have grown-up children, or maybe we've just allowed them to grow up on autopilot. This isn't to make us feel guilty. It's like, oh man, it's too late for me. Like, well, that's for... No. I believe that for each and everyone, God still finds a way to intercept them in the future. God intercepted me when I was 24. Do you understand what I mean? So this isn't saying, well, look, if you haven't done this, you're like a bad parent. No. God has a way of dealing with all that. So I'm not making these points because of that. But this morning, I want us to pray individually. And what I just want us to pray about is just saying, God, help me. Help me with my children so that I don't have to do it alone. Maybe you're not a parent here. Maybe you're an auntie, an uncle. You have nephews, you have cousins, and all these little ones. you can be an example to them as well. Do you understand? So it applies to everyone that we can help to bring them up in such a way that God helps us. Amen. I'm going to ask that we just rise up and rise up for a moment if we can. So this is, you can't sit down. So this is just a personal time here. And like I said, it's not like a lecture that I've given to say, okay, do this. No. All I'm saying this morning is this. God wants to help you and I with our children. And this morning, if we let him, our lives, the lives of our children, stand a better chance for the future. So I'm just going to give us some time for us to just pray and just talk to God in a very simple way and just ask God to really help you. I'm going to pray as well. I have two kids. Well, they're not kids. They're like grown up. And yeah, I have to be careful. I don't use that word loosely. And I'm going to pray as well that God help me to be a good parent, to give them the time that they need so that they can become the best of what God wants them to be. So I'll just give us a minute. Then after that, we'll pray together. Father, this morning, we just thank you because you care so much for us. You care so much for our children as well. And you don't want us to just go through life on our own, in our own strength, just trying to bring them up the best way we think we can and just leave everything to chance. Thank you because you care for us and our children that way. Father, we thank you. This morning, I pray for everyone that is here, and for those that are not even here that have children that they're bringing up. And I pray for even those that are going to have children in the future. I pray that God will help you to bring up your children in a way that will ensure that they fulfill everything that God has planned for them in life. Father, I ask that you will help us, that you will strengthen us in Jesus' name for this. And as I was praying this morning, I saw like a group of children. They were girls and they were holding hands. They were like doing this like circle dance, jumping around and all that. And I saw a girl that was there. And this was while I was praying this morning. And she had a look on her face. It was like, wow. It's as if my childhood was just terminated because something happened to me. And when this person thinks back to that time, it's like, wow, how I wish my childhood could have continued that way. I saw her like playing with her friends in a circle. Well, for that person, I believe God wants me to tell you that, look, irrespective of what has happened in the past, it doesn't matter. He has got you now. And even though maybe your childhood wasn't particularly the way you expected it to be, because something happened that kind of like took away that innocence from you, he says he has got you and that he will bring healing to your heart. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you for everything that you have spoken through your word this morning. I'm asking that you continue to keep us, that you continue to strengthen us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.